recording on both of them, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, well, here we are again at 512 Herning Road, interviewing Bob Strait, Colleen Herning, and Bruce George, the other two people. And see, this is the 9th?
Yeah.
January 9th?
2011.
Right.
Ta-da!
Okay.
And we made another year, right?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Bob, I wanted to ask you, when you located on your land, let's start with that. What year?
Well, I located on it first, just that cabin that was down there, you know, before I actually filed on it.
Mm-hmm.
I located that in, I believe that was in 48.
Okay, 1948.
And either that or late 47, I'm not sure which, but then I used to illegally use a weasel to run out here all the time, you know, and over the old winter trail. And then after I went out for discharge in 51, and I came back, and my cabin was still there, and nobody filed on it, so I filed on that in 51.
Okay, all right.
And then it only took me 10 months, and it was mine. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have, I was a disabled veteran, and so you didn't even have to build anything for that.
Right.
You didn't have to carry anything at all. I did all of that. I had the cabin, and I had way over my 20 acres cleared, you know.
Right.
But then,
what was your total? Was it 160?
160,
right.
Yeah. And then I, later on, I bought the Kimmel place.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it. I bought 80 acres off of that.
Mm.
But then I farmed, and of course, we took my John Deere over to run, separate over to your
to Carl's?
All this over here. It wasn't Carl so much, it was Wolf and
okay, the Herning Road, what's now the Herning Road area.
Yeah, the Herning Road area, yeah. My John Deere, who would outwork any of the other tractors out here? I mean,
oh, wow.
It easily.
For plowing the field?
Well, it is doing anything, but no, I was using that to run the separator, from separating the grain.
Oh,
harvesting.
For the oats?
Of course, Charlie Ward got me into that, and I never got paid by anybody for that. Mm. Anytime Charlie came and borrowed my tractor, who knows where it went, you know?
Oh! Okay.
He broke the yoke on the front axle one time and drove to my iron, and Bob, you got to get your tractor fixed.
Well, speaking of Charlie Ward, reminds me, I wanted to ask you, say, starting at your place and working toward town, who are the neighbors? In order, who was your closest neighbor over there on the town side?
What was his name? The old guy. I mentioned his name a while back, and I can't.
Sheriff.
Sure?
The old guy.
Well, it's there where the day out later on got to be, you know.
Well, wasn't his name Sheriff?
Oh, yeah, Adolf Sheriff.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, so he was the first one. Who would be next?
And then, let's see, well, I went around the corner. That was when they had the old square corner up there, you know.
Yeah. Oh, Colby Everhart, was he there then?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well, here, let's get this over here where us.
Let's turn them over on this thing. There we go. Of course, my closest really was Bernard over there, but he was the
okay,
east,
he was
know.
On the other side,
and then,
east
and,
side.
Yeah, and then the old road used to go around this corner here,
mm-hmm,
and went up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Bob McQuinn was there.
Okay.
And,
was Bonet there at that time?
Oh, yeah, Dusty, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And, well, of course, all of those old ones, too, they were all.
Okay, Earl Herning, Brockman's.
Oh, of course, yeah, Henry and Tilly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everett Lindstrand.
Everett Lindstrand.
Or Carl Lindstrand.
Carl Lindstrand, yeah. And
Everett Lindstrand.
Yeah.
Okay, so this map actually was pretty current 50. At that time.
Oh, yeah, this is, everybody just
okay.
Was pretty much there. Of course, Metcalf filed on that property and never did patent debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Kimmels got theirs. They got, yeah.
They filed on it when he let his go?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, they had this and this. It's 120. He actually had plowed back to this one, too. Again, like he didn't do anything. And then, of course, then Nils Jackson was there. And Nils was still cutting firewood. Ackerman was still cutting a little firewood. Bert O'Leary was still cutting firewood. But they never cut any firewood hardly at all on their own places. They came over and they had all the trees cut off at where one of my place was. It made it easy carrying, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and
okay, now, how were they getting that wood to town?
Over the winter trail.
Okay, so
earlier on they did. Actually, Adolph Scherer had that old D2 cab, and even after the Chino Road was put in, he used to take it and go around that way. And come out on there by the cemetery.
Yeah, it would be shorter, certainly.
Yeah, well.
That would be this trail right here?
Yeah.
The old sled trail?
Yeah, the old sled trail, yeah.
Okay.
Which no longer exists. That's not a legal trail anymore.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned that before.
RS-2477, they moved it. The federal government moved it, you know.
So what became Chino Hot Springs Road replaced.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to remember, what was his name? He used to live right down there by the intersection. It was on the old road. Let's see.
You mean Denton?
No, right in here.
Off of
right
the,
there, right by Louis Johnson, but it was right up in the what was his name? He had a native wife.
Kivalina?
Huh?
Kivalin?
No, Kivalin's were back.
No, he's put over here by the Speece.
Oh.
We got Mutchler, we got
Reno. Come think of it, he just had a 5-acre patch, so he probably bought that off of a different homestead. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Hmm.
He worked, and when I worked for the railroad, he was working on the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Or with me. And then of course, all the old railroad guys, you know, they were up on Bennett. Yeah, you know, the Fabians and who all else?
Cody, Fabian,
Grant Farkas, yeah, all those guys were all railroad people.
Huh? Well, I didn't know
and,
that. Come to think about. No, I can't come with the name. People are still live up there who worked on the railroad.
Is that?
Huh.
I guess that almost has to be.
Bennett Road?
Where is Bennett?
Well,
that's almost got to be Bennett, doesn't it?
Well,
it wasn't built. Remember, it wasn't even built then.
No,
remember?
That's right. It was.
But they didn't build it until.
I think there must have been a pioneer road. Well, here must have been where it started.
Well, Lodge.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, right there. It has to be right.
It was between Lodge and Farkas.
Huh.
There's Holmes.
Yeah, I know. Well, it almost has to be.
It was because here's Fabian, so this must be Bennett here. Because Fabian, when you go up Bennett Road, is on the left side of the road. So
this must be Bennett, this little stretch here.
Yeah,
they extended it on through and built it down here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they got in there. I think they probably came in on the
Somebody said it was just a matter of people building to their place, and then somebody went
then
on beyond them and added a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, behind Johnny Holt, because I know his kid has a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he always talked about walking uphill to go get school bus, you know.
Right.
From Holmes' place, and of course this wasn't built. And then.
Okay, when you came out, how much of the Hot Springs Road, as we know it, was in place?
Well, none of this was built.
Yeah, that's.
We had to remember the name.
Around
of the
Steel
name
Creek.
Of Steel Creek Road. Oh,
that's right.
20 miles.
Yeah.
And then they built, this is the Hageman cutoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
when was that finally pushed through and replaced this?
That had to be close to the 60s.
Well, I know we drove it. It was in place in 58 when we moved out.
Oh, 58?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that could be,
It hadn't been too long, I suspect.
Well, no. But, like I told you, the old guy that lived down at the creek later on.
Denton.
Denton, old Denton coming out that one time when he got stuck. And they didn't find her through it. He was going to do the shortcut.
Yeah.
And he got stuck. And I had a weasel out there. And I pulled him through.
Pulling him through the mud.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had quite a reputation for protecting that crossing and
on the creek bottom.
Well, when did that bridge across Steel Creek get built? When you first came, was there a bridge or?
Oh, down Foothill up. That's for Denton. Later on, you mm-hmm. further out first. Yeah, but then, that got built right about that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just had planks down, you know. They had some planks down.
Oh, and people would go across the planks.
There wasn't really a bridge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, earlier on, before they hadn't even built it further through. They just had that 5-year trail, you know, mm-hmm. and that's all we had. I can't remember what years those were.
We've
got stories about that, about Tilly hauling her eggs over with a tractor over to Steel Creek Road.
And keeping
a car, leaving her car there in the summertime, I guess.
Or in the wintertime, they used the old winter trail.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Then the chicken house burnt down.
When was that? I haven't heard about that.
That burnt down after I had the cabin, but before I filed on the property. So I was still in the military when that burned. I think it burnt down in 47 or 48.
Yeah, okay. Did they have chickens after that, or did that finish their chicken business?
That kind of finished it, yeah.
Because I didn't know anything about them when we came out here.
How did
she had chickens even in her newer house. She used to keep them in the basement.
Oh, yeah, but not to produce a lot.
Periodically, that got pretty right down
there. Oh, yeah, I bet.
Did you have any livestock, Bob?
All I ever had was horses.
How many did you have?
I had two, and then I was taking care of two others.
Mm-hmm.
So we had four of them.
Were you using them for transportation?
No.
Just for fun?
I had a family living with me at the time, mm-hmm. and the kids wanted horses, so I ended up getting mm-hmm. horses, you know.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, I bought old Nick, and he was an old hunting horse from over on, what's the highway over there? But
the Richardson?
We were just the mountains.
Oh, Denali?
He'd been a pack horse over there. Well, when I got him, he was 25 years old, and I had him there for till he was 28, and when he died of a heart attack. But I had him, then I had the Spider, the little Shetland cross.
Mm-hmm.
And
you had a horse named Spider?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I got that one from Farmer's Loop, right around the corner on Farmer's Loop.
The Wilds?
It wasn't Wilds.
Pretty close to the Stees, this end of Farmer's Loop?
Yeah, it was on the Stees end, but it was back then. You remember where the transmitter site field was over there? The air traffic, it was a pasture, and they had a horse.
I think I know. The old barn still is?
Yeah, and it's right across the road from that.
No, I don't know.
But I can't remember her name either.
So did you use the horses for hunting at all?
Oh, yeah.
Around your place?
That was the nearest thing to ride a bird dog you could ever sell in your life. You just lay down on her withers and she'd go through that brush just like a moose.
She's a Shetland pony?
She was Shetland, a little bit bigger than Shetland's. But she was slim-legged and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, you know, like a regular horse. But anyway, she'd go through that thing. When she came on a moose, she'd go on point. All you had to do is raise up and do your job. And
wow.
And
cool.
And she didn't bother her a bit. And mm-hmm. But then she wouldn't do any of the packing, you know. So then I'd have to get old Nick and bring him out.
So did you mostly hunt around your homestead area?
Yeah, down my area, yeah. Well, there's a natural lick down there.
A salt lick down below your homestead?
Right down where the trail. Yeah, well, the lick is, let's see. What's on this side?
Mm-hmm.
So it's right about there.
Oh, okay.
And that black mud.
Oh, and they like to eat that?
They eat that, yeah.
Oh.
And I finally got smart. I've got a billy set up down there now with a couch and a TV and all that stuff and a big 4x4 picture with it, and then a bench rest sitting up here with a hole about that big through the wall. And,
and so that's where you still do your hunting.
That's where you bet.
Cool.
And then I've got the tracker, the Ford tracker. I run down, I drag him up to the overhead hoist, and I got an overhead hoist that I can hoist him up, you know. And, I mean, I finally got smart. It took me 15, 18 years to finally get smart enough to figure you might as well find it at home. You got the same thing.
Yeah.
You're chasing all over the country, you know.
Going all down the rivers.
Well, I've got that runway down there, you know, and it's just 100 feet across the run from the front face of the house over to the 100 yards, I mean. Over to the lake.
Oh.
So he got your rifle zeroed at 100 for 100 yards.
Yeah.
it's cold turkey.
Wow.
So what runway is this?
Well, it's my runway. It's
down here somewhere?
It's a half mile long, you know.
You build it?
Yeah.
Is it going east-west?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And who uses it?
That's what's his name. He flies part 135 off of there. Quite a bit. He also flies off international.
Well, if you think of it, tell me.
Ken Joppy.
Joppy?
Yeah, his airplane company is Ken Air.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a 206 and a 185 and a...
Oh, I sure never knew there was a strip over there.
And then what's his name? The kid you got... busted for hauling booze and stuff in the native villages and bought his airplane. He's got another airplane. It's sitting down there. He flies off of there. After he got out of jail. I did think that was kind of silly on his part, but knowing what the penalty is, you know.
Yeah. Do you have an airplane too?
No. When I owned an airplane, I got an airplane and another guy and I got it together, and we flew off the when Raptor International first opened up in 1951, you know.
And
I went out for discharge. I went out in April of 1951, and International wasn't built.
There. That was still Wheatfield was the only one.
And well, actually, we took off of the base, you know. They flew me out to Great Falls and discharged me there. Then I had to go home, and then I went home for, I was down from April to December.
To Kansas?
Yeah, and I worked for Boeing on the beginning of the B-47 program, and they gave me a department, and I quit and left.
Your work up here was doing a lot of variety of things,
a whole
right?
bunch of things, yeah.
Mostly involving... machinery of some kind or another, right?
Well, either machinery or firefighting.
Or firefighting,
yeah,
that's
right.
That was the other big thing.
Yeah, I was the first fire chief of the university.
Who was?
I was campus fire marshal, and so when we started to start the fire department, they made me fire chief, you know.
And when was that, Bob? What years?
That had to be in 1951.
Okay.
Because I think when I first got back, wait a minute, that may have been 1952. Because it had to be 1952. Because I didn't enter college until the year after I got up here.
So you were going to school and being fire marshal at
that's
the same time.
Because I had fire experience, they made me campus fire. Campus fire marshal. I run around keeping all the extinguishers straightened out and all the emergency fire hoses that's in the buildings. You know, kept them folded up there. Periodically, they'd have water fights in there.
Oh, the kids would?
Yeah, and you'd have to go dry them all out and put them hanging back up. And then we got the Jeep, and actually the people in the valley got that started, and of course that was a combined fire department then, you know, and Chadden, C.O. Chadden, who incidentally, he invented the first auto start.
Is that right?
Yeah, and they were all tube types, and it was a bigger, fairly good-sized box, but they didn't do everything these new ones do, but then... he had that patented, and I don't know whether that patent hung over into the solid state versions or not, but he and then who else was there? Anyway, they elected, I knew them from church, you know, and when this fire department deal came up, and I was down and I was campus fire marshal, they made me fire chief there, they elected me, and then I went up to We didn't have all the money to pay off the fire truck, and went up to see that's Doc at University, Bunnell. And Bunnell came up with the rest of the money.
Oh, out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
Wow.
He did a lot of that.
And, well, the Second World War, when the guys went out, a lot of them transferred their land over to him because they might not come back, and he paid them.
Yeah.
And so their wives had some money and stuff, you know, while they were in the service. And then they were able to buy it back if they wanted to after the war. A lot of them, they didn't. And he ended up with all that land all over the place. Wow. Personally, you know.
Is that what became more of the university?
Some of it down mm-hmm. on the far end was that way, but then most of it down in the flats, down on the, you know, in Vulture mm-hmm. Flats. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to call it college community today, but mm-hmm. the real names are Vulture Flats.
Yeah.
Gina Ridge is Vulture Hills.
So you were living on your homestead when you were working at the university?
Well, I was in and out of here, yeah.
Oh.
I was actually staying on campus quite a bit. You know?
Oh, they probably provided
yeah.
you with the
oh,
room
yeah.
and
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, the old best dorm. And
I was still there when we came up.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, sure.
2 years.
And
did you know Eleanor Rydell?
She's still over here?
She was she homesteaded next to Dad. And she was in the Army, and her homestead the same way you did, where you didn't really have to clear the land.
No. As a matter of fact, I went up and I did some of her work for her up there. I did that, she didn't die very long ago.
It's been several years.
Several years.
Her husband's still alive, I think.
Yeah. And then the kind of funny thing was over here south, straight south of me. Yeah. Where is it?
You're up here.
Oh, the Tossith homestead. Okay. Anna Tossith offered to sell me that, and it's straight down affection, I know. Right
oh,
there,
yeah,
right there.
It would be.
And for $3,500, and that was a 320-acre homestead, mm. and I never got out to pay for it, and then finally he called me up, and he said, Bobby, you still want that land? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, I got a buyer here for $4,500. I said, I go ahead, take
$4,500. Oh, you didn't get that land.
And now they turned it back to the state.
Mm.
And the people that they got it, they were posy snippers, mm. and they gave it back mm. to a park.
Now, there was a big forest fire in your neighborhood one year, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was actually, that started.
Remember what year that was?
That was up on the Kimmel place, and we had burned it. Put the burn pile in a good 100-foot separation. And we started a fire in the wintertime, and it burnt, and then it apparently went out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a hot south wind blowing in there, and it rekindled that fire, and, that, mm-hmm. and it blew it clear across that 100-foot, headed up over the hill.
Down towards Chino Hot Springs Road, right?
No, went north back into Smallwood.
Oh.
I think George has some pretty good stories about that, because he ended up on somebody's tractor. You'll have to read the stories.
Yeah, right.
That, I think, must have been about 57, because it had happened not too long before we came out.
Okay, yeah.
That sound about right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I remember Dad taking us all over there, and we went up the road and saw the flames all licking
mm-hmm.
the edges of the road.
Yeah, that was... And then BLM put me in charge of that fire, you know.
And
I fought that with, Dalen Ward.
Uh-huh.
He worked with me and Johnny Bias. He just immediate neighbors, and we fought it. And finally got them too much. And I called in, and that's when, what was his name? He used to be head of the BLM up here. He authorized the rental of a cat, you know. So.
Oh, because you were just, the three of you guys were
yeah.
just fighting by hand?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was, anyway, then, what was his name? Anyway, after I got done with that fire, anytime I went on a fire after that, he'd tell all the fire bosses, he said, Bob comes up and tells you to do something, don't ask no damn fool question, just go ahead and do it.
Okay, now, why did you have a fire going in the first place? You were clearing land?
Clearing land.
Okay,
well,
that's what I figured.
So it was a rekindled burn fire.
Yeah, and apparently it was burning inside, you know, it
mm-hmm.
hadn't come out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the moss and
now
stuff.
The moss.
And we've had a lot of those.
Oh, yeah.
And But one thing about it, it did make a lot of land better. But of course, one place on the back slope of the hill, back over right behind Jackson's place, you start dropping down, and there it melted. It took all the moss, burned all the moss off, and then the permafrost went out, and there's gullies that showed up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were 20 foot deep gullies,
yeah,
just from the permafrost melting out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, well, you'll be interested in George's story, because that was kind of exciting.
Which one?
George Lyle, when he was running his tractor on that fire.
Oh, yeah.
But he was talking about being over on the back side of the hill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had to cut the fire breaks down off the hill, and then you throw the material to the outside of the fire, so you develop a cold edge.
Mm-hmm.
So you develop a cold edge, you know. And then we'd set back fires on the inside and burn it back toward the fire.
Mm-hmm. Now, you worked with, you got to know George Lyle in the Army?
Oh, in the Air Force. Yeah.
Oh, in the Air Force.
Yeah. George, when I first got up there, I was in Transportation Squadron, Yukon Aerodrome Group, and George was in that outfit.
What year was that?
That was 47. And George was still at 6 Mile then, at the ordnance camp.
Uh-huh.
Then they moved him up to the light duty garage, and he's working on Herman Nelson heaters and all that kind of stuff on the main base. But I think they did that because of he and Ann.
They were sweethearts.
Ann would be calling him, or he'd be calling Ann, and they'd have to come over that. We had a W-8 field foam system set up between 6 Mile and the main base, and then we went on the regular line, you know, and we had to tie him in and ring him into the 6 Mile deal to get a hold of him, you know.
Easier to move him than
we had a Captain Fox at that time early on, and then later Captain Lingenfeller, and both those guys were good guys. Mm-hmm. They made it convenient for him.
Now, did you ever, when you were out there homesteading, did you ever have a time where you went, I can't handle this anymore. I want to leave.
No, I never had that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to work because of jobs and stuff. I was not there a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still home.
Yeah, always had a place to come back to.
Mm-hmm. You know, when done, I was working on the 8-inch pipeline over in Canada. The
canola line?
Well, that was literally, it wasn't a canola line. The canola line was the old 3-inch. The 8-inch Army pipeline, it came from Haynes, came in here. And I was in charge of security and first aid and the safety engineers on that. And I rolled the ambulance over and broke my own leg.
The ambulance over your own leg?
Well, I rolled it. The right hand door, that's before seat belts, and then the right hand door came open and my leg got out the door, and then it rolled over again.
Oh.
It kept rolling over and shut and latched the door on my right leg. And then I had to set my own leg.
While you're out there in the woods,
Well, both bows were broken, and I didn't want to flop it around, so I set my own leg, and I got into White Horse, and Dr. Tannett run me into X-ray. He said, "Well, it's all right, everything's in place." It had been bent right out just 90 out the right there.
What did you set it with?
Well, I used a metal ladder splint, and then I padded it up on my good leg, you know. I got it all rigged up there, and then I put it over on that, and then I left it under the heel. I bent down the bottom under the heel, and I left about that much space.
So there's
some heels up. And then I took ace bandages, and I right down through the break, you know, from the top, and then I rolled around from the toe and worked back into the other, and let the ace bandages draw it down into place.
Wow.
Pulled everything into place.
And you had the ambulance with all this stuff in it.
Yeah, but the ambulance was out there. It was definitely done in. But I had some pretty good pills there along with me that I had and yellow jackets. Yeah. And I popped about 5 of those before I started setting my leg.
Now, you learned all this first aid and whatnot in the military?
No, I learned that before. I was an instructor in first aid when I was 16.
Oh, interesting.
And for a long time, for one period of time there, I was the only instructor in the whole interior of Alaska. And I missed teaching a class. You had to teach one a year to keep you current.
Oh.
And I missed teaching by 1 month. And they took my ticket away, and I said, I told them to go get bit. I'm not going to go back to the whole thing again. I mean,
no, what a shame after all those years.
Well, and I'd worked at it and everything else, you know.
Did you ever have any emergency situations on the homestead?
Not really. Cut my own knee with a chainsaw one time, and then, let's see, I never had a little thing. And then Johnny Bias, he was sick, and I had to run him back and forth to town, you know. He's one of my fire department people out of Hamill Acres.
Oh, okay.
How's that name spelled? It's a familiar name, but it can't...
B-Y-S-S-E-E.
That's not Bias Drive.
No, I realize that. Hmm. Well, where did he live?
No, he just lived on my place.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, the name has come up.
Yeah, he stayed with the Kennels up north of me, you know, before I bought their place. He was a big, heavyset kid, and finally died. They did the abdominal resection thing on him.
Hmm.
On the gut, you know, they shortened it up.
Oh, you mean to help him lose weight?
Yeah, back then? And they did too much of it, and so they had to go back in and do it again. And then he went along there for about a year, year and a half after that second operation.
Then it
ruptured somewhere down in there and killed him.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know they were doing that technique back then. Obviously, they hadn't perfected it.
Well, there's any time you go into anybody, depending if they've got a tendency to ulcer, you know, then it becomes a variable.
What a shame! How about bears? Did you have any encounters with bears over on your homestead? You know,
when I first had the cabin out there, they used to raid me all the time. That's when I had the vendetta on the bears, and I killed everything I could find around the area. We've never had any in the area since.
Mm-hmm.
These are black bears, I presume.
Yeah.
Were they breaking into your cabin when you were gone, or did they ever break in while you were there?
Never broke in while I was there. They seemed to sense that that wasn't a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
You come out there and grab something to eat, and it'd all be gone, you know, and the doors, windows would be ripped out. And
who else is on here that we need to find out about? Let's see, George. Quite a character.
She broke the tie rod on it one time, and what else? There's something else that she broke down.
One time I took
her in the mail, and we were finished off a route, and we got old Bob, her husband, you know, we got him to come back and get to fix the truck, and then she drove it home.
Where did she turn around on the end of her route?
Well, at first it didn't go past the little chin because nobody went by there. And I think, it had to be close where Leroy Wells is out there now.
Okay, that could be. There was nothing out there beyond that anyway.
Out there in the flat, there was nobody, you know, out towards the Regina.
Well, she has some pretty interesting stories.
You read her story?
Oh, yeah. Carl apparently pulled her out of the ditch with his bus once.
Oh, yeah. Actually, she was a pretty good driver, though.
Oh, I'm sure she was.
Do you remember her?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah, she showed up at our front door the day after Christmas one year on a 50 below, because I know we had a blanket up over the door.
Mm-hmm.
And because she felt bad about a package that hadn't been delivered in time for Christmas or something, so she drove down from the road, because, of course, the boxes were off on the highway then, delivered the darn thing. It's out in her sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Her husband must have been quite a genius to have worked her cars over to keep her warm and all. So,
through all that.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Did we talk about Adolph? Was it Adolph Scherer?
Scherer.
He was your neighbor, right?
No, that's right there. Just pretty close.
Right
there.
Over.
Right
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he just had a little.
Well, no, he had the whole thing, and then he sold it.
Yeah. To Wilson?
Yeah. Because what they call Wilson Place was all his.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea what brought him into the country?
Adolph?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he came in the 97 gold rush into Canada.
Into Dawson.
Yeah, and he climbed the trail and all that business, you know.
Wow. Wow.
He never had any luck on gold, though. But he made his real money baking.
Yeah, he must have been a professional baker, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was good. And he would, later, after he was living in a cabin, retired more or less out there, you know, still cut a little firewood. But he always kept fresh baking goods, and all the old kids and all of that, and I and a whole bunch of people, we always used to gather over there.
Mm-hmm.
His name appears in a lot of these stories about his baking. Yeah.
He was a fine old guy. Then later on, there was a warrant officer bought that place after he died. And I can't remember the warrant officer's name, but he was at Schofield in Hawaii when the Japs attacked over there.
Mm.
He was bandmaster, as a matter of fact.
I think Betty Day talked about him, and she gave a name which I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But I'm pretty sure that's the same fellow. She talked about him being a bandmaster.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah, it would be, yeah, because he just up on the north end of their place. You know?
And you did know of the old gentleman who grew all the, fancy growing.
Oh, the trees?
The vegetables.
Yeah, apple trees and things he tried. Yeah.
Which guy was that?
We found that the other day.
Yeah, we found it. It says it was Betcher, wasn't it? That was
Betcher. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he would have been just across where Nordale Road is now.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I think
part of
Nordale Road, you have to go through part of that little piece of land.
Could very well. Mm-hmm.
But he had that niece living with him when I first came.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Now, how did he get in there? Was there a trail down?
Well, he came up the old winter trail.
Oh, well, of course, that would be the easy way, wouldn't it? Sure. In fact, it goes right across his property line.
Yeah. And then after Chino Springs Road was built, they hadn't built Nordale Road yet, but there's still a trail. Coming down through Blockland.
I think Severs talked about, Virgil talked about coming down that way to get to their property early on.
Did you see his orchard or fruit trees?
Yeah, but they weren't bearing. That was about the end of them. They were about the trees were getting tired, I guess, whatever, you know. They got to where they weren't bearing.
Mm. Did you know Rudy Bilberg?
Oh, yeah. And,
Bessie? Rudy and Bessie?
Oh, I forgot that was his wife's name, Bessie. Did you have any dealings with Rudy?
Not really. I mean,
He didn't
know? Every time we were always pulling, everybody's pulling everybody else
out of the ditch,
like
the roads were part of everyone's story.
The hills were a lot steeper then, too.
Yes, they were.
Like that old 4x4 Chevy dump truck with Henry Brockman's, in four-wheel drive, it gets slick on that hill, and you get almost, you can see over the top, and I'd spin out. It had four-wheel drive, and I still had to get out and train that sucker.
That was 4 mile hill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah. Maddie had some wonderful stories about.
We call that Kruger's Hill, but then...
The one right out here.
We're talking about this one right out here. Yeah, I was thinking of the one by the children's home.
We didn't call it that. We 4 Mile Hill, we called it something else. I forgot now.
Somebody's name? I mean, that love road up there, he apparently was...
Children's Home Hill.
Yeah, Children's Home was there then. You know when the children's home started?
It was back up on Seal Creek first.
The Maranatha.
Then after they built the Hagerman Cutoff, then they built it.
Well, there were two children's homes.
Yeah, I know. The one that's down on what's now Chino Springs Road.
Pentecostal home was on Hot Springs.
And that was back there where, the contractors.
Right where Bryce's.
Bryce's.
Bryce
were
at, yeah.
Yeah, that one was the Maranatha.
And it was there first.
Mm.
Well, and names are escaping me. Funks. Funks have that property at one time.
Oh, did they?
I think
Bryce's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. were up there first, and then they left and came back. I think they must have sold it or didn't prove up or whatever the deal was.
Well, I don't think they had the whole 460.
Well, no, I doubt that they did.
Funk still had part of the property, I think.
Well, that could be.
I don't think they ever actually had let loose of all of it.
In any case, they end up settling down on the creek, which
was
nearly the good property.
What was the Funk girl's name?
Gwen, Lynn, Linda. Linda was the oldest girl. Well, then there was Paula and Gwen.
Well, that must be Gwen. She used to come over and ride the horses a little more, please.
Mm-hmm.
She could take that old Nick, that old big, he's a big old standard horse, big feet and everything else. She could get him to do 4 foot jumps and all kinds of stuff when he was 25 years old, you know.
Wow. Did Gwen herd their cattle over to your place?
No.
She herded them on our field.
Well, I was just far enough away.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. But,
how many cows did they run down there?
They
must have had
eight or ten.
Yeah, at least 10.
Yeah, they had that white horse.
Yeah, Smokey, and I used to go ride Smokey.
I don't know whether he died or just was getting poor, because they had him when she was coming over to my place to ride Nick, you know. And then my attorney's horse, his name, she rode him quite a bit. My attorney's daughter's horse, really, that he broke his leg.
The horse did?
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
No, he stepped in a hole somewhere.
On your property?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, it was all run the ball from rage. You never know where he broke it, really, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just appeared one day with broken leg hopping on three. And he was down. And then we got the attorney. We got rigged it. A splint on his hind leg, and which was broken, and it was starting to heal pretty good. And then he fell into another spot over there and fell down and broke it again. And,
so
he had to put him down.
Oh.
And actually, horses usually when you break your leg and another gets broke, you're done.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the end. Did you know Yoder that?
Art, yeah.
Art Yoder. What did he do? What was his business?
Well,
was he
involved with
the co-op?
Well, he belonged to the co-op. He wasn't much involved in it. But he also worked for NC.
Hmm.
And then I think he worked for railroad too for a while.
Hmm. And what about George Love?
You know, I don't really know that I ever really knew him at all. I probably saw him, but
too far away.
Mm-hmm. You know Pete Akin?
Oh, of course, yeah. Matter of fact, you know he was the first black person elected to public office in the state of Alaska.
I think I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, as a matter of fact, he was a witness on my homestead, and I was a witness on his.
Huh. Well.
And I cleared the land up there for him, and then went back in and plotted. That was just as nice and smooth a field as you could possibly imagine. 1 year later, the plumber crossed out in those holes, and they sunk in so deep you could hide a pickup down and couldn't see it.
Wow. Once it all got, all that warmth got down into it.
And it just,
That's the story of a lot of places.
Yeah, and then his wife's name was Velma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And,
So he did prove up on his homestead.
Huh?
He proved up on his homestead.
Yeah. Well, he built the original bullseye. It wasn't a bullseye then. It was something else. I forgot now. And they had the dance hall joint going there.
Right. And the blue cabbage out in back to attract the moose for the.
I didn't know that.
Well, then he started that animal farm down there, you know. And then someone went game and got him up. He had bobcats and everything else down there. And then someone came in and let all the vermin out.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
He had an animal farm right there by the bullseye?
Over against the trees, back in behind the field.
Like a little zoo or something?
Yeah. And,
so we might have bobcats running around.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think they survive the cold.
Hmm.
It's like that one time I was coming home, and I was right there by Lodge, and saw this, what's the bird? He's got the fancy tail.
Peacock?
Peacock, yeah. I saw this peacock over there, and I'd had a couple of beers that day. Come on, I haven't had that much. And I got out to try to catch it, and it took off in the weeds out there. Well, I was pretty quiet about that for a while. Hey, come on, you know. And hallucinations, you know, but anyway. And I was talking to Bob Gimble, about a year and a half later. He says, oh, yeah, he says, I bought a hen and a rooster. Up, you know, and the rooster got away. So I finally said, I'm glad to hear that.
My sanity is still intact.
Yeah, right.
So this was Gambles that had this. When did they show up on the scene? Because they're
about that, pretty close to the same time, you know. I don't remember what year.
Around 51 or...
Because they aren't on the map, are they?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. They were.
Okay.
Here.
They'd be
over here.
They're... They should be.
I think I never
they
found
back,
them. And
they
then
were
we
back
wrote,
in.
We wrote them in because we couldn't find them on here.
Yeah, they would be... I mean, here's
how many miles
Dad.
Back? Yeah.
Just a mile and a half back.
Yeah.
What's this? Ilford? No.
Ilford.
Or Gambles must be clear back to one of these.
No,
yeah,
they, Maybe.
And there's still a private road.
Gamble. Here, you got Gamble written in right
mm-hmm.
there.
So they must have come along.
Did you do much with Bob Gamble?
Oh, we were good friends, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Cora.
Did you guys work together at all?
No. No, he ran a tin shop.
He ran
right.
what?
That's right.
He ran a tin shop out there with Samson Hardware. And
oh.
And as a matter of fact,
whoops. That was sneaky.
This is the third time I've had to push him off the chair.
And what's his name? Samson Hardware?
Mm-hmm.
He used to have him make up stainless steel stovepipe.
Oh.
It only cost about half again more than heavy galvanized.
Uh-huh.
But once you bought the stainless, it lasted forever, you know.
Wow.
Where was his shop?
Right there, you know where the barber shop was?
Next to Samson Hardware.
Next to Samson?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that next building right
that's
beyond that.
That begins to sound familiar.
And,
when they showed up on the scene.
Well, then Gamble got, then he built that hangar for the whole place, and he used to fly, and then he got that state Aggieland thing out in the valley.
Right, yeah, Paul talked about that.
He used to fly back and forth.
Between the two places?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's before.
Oh, you did interview Cora.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cora talked about that quite a bit. That'll be interesting to read. Yeah.
Well, they used to take equipment in the wintertime on that tagline over there. Finally, he got that road built.
Mm-hmm.
He built, dragged an old railroad car to build a bridge that's across the middle scene.
How far out is that wagon that he did?
Well, it's not that. It's
about 10 miles?
About 10 miles.
What is this saying right here?
Oh, Bob Gamble, ag parcel.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. All right, he came in.
So there, there's 10 miles right here where May's place is.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah,
he came down.
Yeah.
See, I've been down that road.
And then he swung around right there. He swung around a little bit to come out in this land here, and then he came on down.
Yeah, that's right there.
He built that bridge, you know.
Yeah, it's quite a nice bridge right there.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Of course, it's really a private road, but then it's on a section line easement, so you can't stop anybody.
Yeah. Was he raising hay down there? On that egg?
I don't really know what Bob was got
done. I think Cora does, but I don't remember.
He had all the equipment up there to do that, but I don't know whether he ever actually raised a crop. But then he got that, when he was building that road, he got the D9 stuck, and he didn't want to pay. It wasn't a big priority, you know, so he just let the setting in the wintertime. He went down, he was in moss, and he had a chainsaw, and sawed the moss up underneath the cat.
Oh, and then walked the cat right out?
And up and
that was
there.
Smart.
He went all the way into that thing.
Well, could I give you another cup of coffee?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, let me
That was smart.
And what the, on Rissy, what was the guy that was there before Rissy?
Let's see.
It'll be on here.
Blankenship?
No.
Here's Rissy. Merle Berkey?
Oh, Berkey, yeah. Yeah, and Berkey had that old international cat. The radio needed to get it. Had a barrel up on top of it. That was the thing that he kept pulling. So, and it was feeding down through you.
Pull up what?
Oh, water and everything. It was coolant.
Uh-huh.
And he did all the land trading over there with that.
Wow.
No international, HD-14, I think. Or T, HD, whatever it was. It's a 14, I'm pretty sure.
So do you have any photos of your original cabin? This is the one on the north side of the road, right?
No. This is the one that's down right in the end of
Where you're at now.
Yeah. And, and making the runway, I do the rest of it out.
Oh.
It's in the burn pile down there.
Oh.
You said it was a woodcutter's cabin at one time?
Well, that's what I think it was. Yeah. Is either that or is that old bootlegger's cabin? I'm not sure where.
Oh, that's right, because you talked before about a bootlegger in the neighborhood.
Well, before I was there, because it had already been raided by the feds. You could see it, and they'd mashed it flat with a copper still, and they'd done the axe work on it, and then they'd flattened it out.
Uh-huh.
It was obvious what it was.
It was right outside the cabin?
Well, it was just up above the tree.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Oh, yeah, right.
And, it was there for a long time, and then finally did, and Ward stole it, and then sold it for scrap brass.
Oh, darn, that would have been an antique.
Yeah, it would have been.
That would have been a good one to nail on your wall.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, apparently there were a couple of woodcutters that would have been probably on Copper Creek or that general area.
Oh, yeah.
Betchert. I don't know who told this story. Oh, no, it was something I found in the newspaper files. Just one of them committed suicide, and
one of the woodcutters?
Yeah, and Betcher came on the scene after the fact for some reason. I don't remember the whole story.
Oh.
About that.
Who did Betcher?
Betcher, the old man, the
fruit grower?
The gardener.
Yeah, all right. There was another, just a dugout cabin. It was there for quite a long time. It fell in, you know, but then it was just where a washout came down the hill.
This is on your place?
This is on my place, yeah. And then whoever stayed in there, just barely room for a little wood stove, you know, and a bed. There's no kitchen facility there at all. But it was just a dugout. Of course, that could have been coming there. It could have been a freezer in the wintertime, too, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could have been for that purpose. But it was just a gully came down, and they just dug back into the bank right there. And,
okay. When did you get electricity at your place?
Long time after. Everybody else had electricity way before I did.
Oh, did you? Did you have to put your own poles in, or?
As a matter of fact, we already had the electricity up to Kimmel's house, and then I put that moved that old wooden building in there first. And when I bought the Kimmel place, I swung the power off of that old one to mine, and that had 50, that was 67, 68.
Oh, quite a
lot. So it was way after, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wasn't on the original Golden Valley people.
What about water? Did you get a well at your place?
Yeah, I drilled a well, but man, the Kibble didn't have one, you know, so.
How'd you drill your well?
Oh, Dick Brandon and I did.
His rig?
I helped him build that rotary rig. And that was the first well we drilled with it.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Dick Brand?
Dick Brand. He's over on off the farm, too.
That was the Brand family that, later on had plywood supply?
Oh, no, that's different.
Different family, okay.
But Brandon, Dick had been here for a long time. Mm-hmm. His family had been here for a long time. And then he worked up on the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
he was just on the oil well stuff up there, you know, and then we drilled it there, and then I drilled it. Well, all the wells are set on my old, parts of my old homestead now, almost all of them, Dick and I drilled.
Mm-hmm. So those you sold along with the and property, the, what a deal to
have a well there.
Have a well in already.
Wow.
How deep did you have to go?
Oh, it varied between 80 feet and 207.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know.
No, you don't.
The one I've got right now is right at 100.
Mm-hmm.
The one up above is just 100, but it's almost 50 foot higher up on the hill.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't make too much difference.
Hmm.
Yeah, get on his lap and leave my chair alone. If he gets up there, you'll know it.
He looks heavy.
He's a lot full.
He looks very heavy.
Oh, are we running out of questions, Colleen?
Let's see, did we talk about Carl? Did you ever have anything to do with the bus, or do you remember when the buses?
That one time, remember on the Silver Heads on the Jimmies? I told you about them. They were cracking heads all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And the old World War II 6x had that bypass for the back of the head up to the top of the radiator.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that was there, and they never had any trouble cracking heads. And so mm-hmm. I went down and I showed Carl how that was done, and we did that on the one bus, and it never cracked. He put them on all the buses.
Oh, how to bypass
that. Yeah. Then Bobby Miller quit selling him heads.
And then probably wasn't happy because he liked selling all those heads. You know.
Oh, was it a Suburban of some kind?
Yeah, the Chevy Suburban, and that's the one that...
What year was that, you know? Because I was looking 50, on the
internet. 51, 52, back in that era.
Well, I think I found it on the internet.
Oh, really?
Found what?
A picture of that.
Oh, that old Greenman picture.
Yeah, and...
Well, it's sitting over the drive. It's still sitting in the drive
over there
somewhere. One of the places.
Over at Maddie's?
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere. They still got it.
Oh, huh.
And that's one that I had jumped one out.
Mm-hmm.
And I saved the glass, and then Carl got it from me.
So he could replace the windows.
She was having an auction over there selling all the stuff in this pile of glass, you know. You better keep that. You still got the vent in there.
Yeah.
You better keep that. We got one of those windows broken. Yeah, one of these will fit, you know.
Yeah.
Sure it would.
Huh.
Yeah, well, when I jumped, I became a cesspool.
The
Chevy Suburbans and vans, they made the best cesspools of any car.
The hand-dug cesspool?
Well, not at all. The very cars for cesspools, you know?
Uh-huh.
Well, the Chevy Suburban would last longer underground in the dirt than any other car. It would.
Heavy-duty frame.
Well, the body is heavy, you know, and they stay together. You could put Nash Rambler or something like that down, they'd last one, two years, and they'd, all you could find after about 2 years or so, we'd find the chrome bumpers, and that was all that was left. That's how cheap they were.
Wow. Well, that's something to remember. Maybe I can go find an old one for a septic tank.
How far? Well, I don't know that. Thinking about Carl's bus route and how far he went out when.
Well,
do you have any reason to know?
With that Suburban, he went out to, I think he turned around at my place here and picked up the kids there and then the Ward kids.
What kids were at their place?
I think, was there anybody? I don't think there was anybody had kids out there at that time beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
No.
A lot of those guys were bachelors, weren't they?
Yeah,
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jackson wasn't. Jackson, he had a house right by old main school downtown.
Hmm.
That's where his woodyard was. And the old Larry's, Bernard was a bachelor, but you know, he had a whole bunch of family. And they still own that, you know. And they still own most of this, too. Hmm. Now, he sold some pieces off the front yard, but they have some of it. And,
you
know, I think
school age kids, huh?
But the school kids, the school deal, the Kimmel kids, I think, were the first ones out.
What was the name?
Kimmel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then I bought David was leaving. I bought the rest of bought the 80 off here. And then the Ward kids. And let's see. There's somebody's kid who's living in the old cabins on the what do they call it, Wilson Place here. Maybe that's after later on.
The days
came out later. To build that house too.
and
wired it.
The one that Phyllis is in, the Clarks are in now?
Yeah. I was kind of concerned that they had that fire in the end of the building, you know?
Yeah.
But that was their own fault there. That was something, some goofy thing they had done at that basement.
It wasn't the wiring, the original rock wiring.
I was kind of concerned about that.
Well, do you remember when the Days brought all these Shetland ponies up?
Yeah, but you remember he piled on a homestead down below the house, down across the road?
Oh.
And that's where the Quonset is down there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they lived down there first.
Yeah, and Jim's dad bringing those ponies up.
Oh, and everything else.
Oh, yeah, he bought those up to two or three different loads of them. Different summers.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in the country, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he also bought goats, and he bought chickens.
And farm machinery.
Oh, yeah.
He bring a bunch of ratty old farm machinery, and we had to rebuild it before we could use it. He brought up that 1014 key bater. The bale case had been hammered so much that the case was so out like that, and I had to pull all that back into place and put beefers along the side of it to hold it in.
Oh, wow.
The plunger head on it was about one of the whole faces gone off of it, and then I took Dexian steel and I built that.
What kind of a shop did you have to do all this?
Well, mine was all outdoors.
Oh, man.
Well, Jim had it.
Yeah.
Had a shop over there, and a lot of times we did it in there, but then most farm machinery, I just worked on it outdoors.
Well, they said they had a sawmill there for a while.
Well, that was down below the road, yeah. As a matter of fact, what was his name? Was his partner?
Johnny Cole? Yeah.
Johnny Cole was one of the best sawyers in this country.
All right.
He cut a 2x4, it was a 2x4.
Let's see, where was he?
Yeah, he was on
out here somewhere.
Well, then he also filed for something up in there somewhere.
Up on Amanita. Well, he filed on that for Jim, from what Betty said.
Yeah.
Jim Day?
Yeah, Jim couldn't file. He'd already filed.
Uh-huh.
So he couldn't file a second time, so Johnny.
Yeah. I don't think so. No, he actually filed on that together first, and then Jim filed on his property.
Okay. That's the way I remember Betty's story, but in any case, they worked together, apparently. So Cole was a sawyer, huh? Any idea what brought him up here?
Went to work, I guess. He and Jim both came here about the first same time. And they were part of the five people that started laborers in the year.
I knew Jim was involved.
Jim Day?
Jim set up the retirement program, which to this day is the best union retirement system in the world. Mm-hmm. It's right here in this labor local town. Mm-hmm. The international keeps wanting to take it to international so you can get hold of all the money, but then
I didn't know that.
I tell you learn all sorts of things.
I know, I love it. And the military brought you up here, right?
Yeah.
They brought a lot of people up here. Still is.
We had ice folks bad in Fairbanks. We couldn't land at Fairbanks, so we had to go across the mountains into Anchorage. And I got off the airplane out of old C-82 and I got up and looked at her. I wanted back on the airplane. I want to go home. And I still feel the same way about Anchorage.
You have to have the
fruit cake. It's crappy weather. But wet, windy.
Yeah, icy.
Yeah.
So once you got it, when you flew... got out of Anchorage and came to Fairbanks.
We came up on the Alaska Railroad.
Oh, okay.
I told you about that, getting on the train, and we got up there, had the snow slide on the Fair Rail. We had to hold up the old Park Hotel.
Wow.
Yeah. And it happened, a bunch of us, when we were flying up, we'd gone through Canada, we landed at Fort Nelson, and we had Crown Royal, and the Canadian Crown Royal is 100 proof, and the American Crown Royal.